Your clowns are very impressive. You must be very proud.
Welcome to The Internet Says It's True, a show where we learn something new every week, part of the WCBE podcast experience. Thanks for being here and listening. As always, I appreciate the listeners of this show who come from NPR and from Spotify and all the other places where you can listen. I wanted to remind everyone that you can sign up for Patreon and support this show for as little as a dollar a month. It's at patreon.com/MichaelKent. And there are some bonuses there for you as well. You can see video of the quick quiz every week, and it's the only place you can watch my show, Joke, Story, Trick. It's patreon.com/MichaelKent, and I appreciate all the support there. You can submit topics for this show at our website, theinternetsaysitstrue.com, and that's what Catherine in Indiana did. Here's what she sent us.
Hey, Michael, it's Catherine in Indiana. I recently read that Barbara Streisand's dogs are actually clones. You should definitely look into this. Thanks, and love the show.
Thanks, Catherine. Well, this is a weird one. I don't know anything about Barbara Streisand other than she's an EGOT winner. And that means she's one of the 16 people in history who have won an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony Award. I think I can maybe name two of her songs. So I had a bit of Googling to do this week. And yes, Babs cloned her dogs. When I was in high school, Dolly the Sheep took the front page of every newspaper. She became the lead story on the evening news back in 1997. After 276 failed attempts, Dolly was the first mammal to be cloned from an adult cell. She was created in a lab at the Roslin Institute in Edinburgh, Scotland. The cloning team was led by a British embryologist by the name of Ian Wilmot. Dolly was called one of the most significant scientific breakthroughs of the century.
The headline on the other major news story today, to which we intend to devote some time, is very simple. Hello, Dolly. It's a very long time since a science story on Sunday made such waves on Monday, but with good reason. Dolly is the name of the first mammal, yes, a sheep, ever to be born as the result of cloning. Cloned from an adult sheep in a laboratory.
Of course, scientists weren't interested in Dolly because of a need for more sheep. The implications were widespread. What if cloning animals could help create more sustainable food in hungry parts of the world? Or what if we could use this technology to clone humans? Or what if it could be used to save endangered species? Or even revive species that have gone extinct?
Using sophisticated techniques, they extract the preserved blood from the mosquito and, bingo, dino DNA.
The cloning process used a donor cell from a sheep's mammary gland. By the way, this is interesting. Wilmot claimed that this is the reason they named the sheep Dolly. They took the cell from the mammary gland, and they couldn't think of mammary glands more notable than those of Dolly Parton. I'm serious. That's why Dolly the sheep got that name. The cloning used a somatic cell in the process of nuclear transfer. Every description I read of the process is pretty much over my head, but here is a quote from Bill Ritchie, one of the embryologists at the Roslin Institute, describing the process. And I think this is him trying to dumb it down. Quote, "The simple way of describing nuclear transfer is that you take an oocyte, an unfertilized egg, and you remove the chromosomes. You then take a complete cell, which contains both male and female chromosomes, all of our cells do, apart from the gonads. You take that cell and fuse it to the enucleated egg, activate it, which starts it growing, and transfer it to a surrogate mother. Hopefully, with your fingers crossed, you will get a cloned offspring, a copy of the animal you've taken that cell from." End quote. So that's what he called the simple way of describing it, and I still don't know what any of that means. But it turns out you don't have to. What's important is that after 276 attempts, it worked. There had been other mammals that had been cloned prior to Dolly, including six other sheep that same day. But according to the Roslin Institute's website, what made her so special was that she had been made from an adult cell, which no one at the time thought was possible. And it spawned, pardon the pun, an endeavor to clone animals that continues to this day. Many large adult animals have been cloned since Dolly. Deer, horses, bulls, and pigs, to name a few. 2 years ago, a lab in China created cloned monkeys in order to study medical diseases. But with all this progress comes controversy. There are obvious ethical questions when we talk about cloning. Many opponents fear a slippery slope to human cloning. Now, this hasn't been done, but cloning technology has been used to modify genes in human babies, an experiment that was hugely controversial and for which the scientist, Hei John Kui, ended up being sentenced to spend 3 years in a Chinese prison. Animal rights groups oppose cloning for a few reasons. They cite those reasons as cloning attempts causing a large number of animals with severe deformities and health problems. They see the process as one that devalues life. Many of these groups also cite the fact that industries driving cloning are animal food and biomedical research, which are already industries which they oppose. There are many articles on the internet with a somewhat misleading headline that Ian Wilmot himself, the researcher who led the Dolly Project, now opposes animal cloning. And if you read into them, he doesn't. He just doesn't support the original technology that they used and instead favors an updated approach and newer, better science. Religious groups oppose cloning for the obvious reasons that they see it as playing God. This is the same argument that they use to oppose all embryonic stem cell research. Groups like the controversial Family Research Council oppose the idea of using embryonic cells to help cure diseases like ALS. They claim, quote, "There is no valid reason for any human cloning or embryo destruction," end quote. After Dolly the sheep, it took around a decade to successfully clone a dog. Seoul National University in South Korea cloned Snuppy the dog in 2006. Since then, a South Korean company has cloned around 600 dogs. An American pet cloning company called Biogen is a subsidiary of Transova Genetics. Transova works in the space of livestock, doing fertilization and cloning work. But Biogen is a Texas-based company that exists solely for cloning pets, mostly horses, cats, and dogs. Before we talk about Barbara Streisand, let's take a quick break. Whenever I can, I try to only do business with companies that I believe in. And it's an added bonus if they have progressive, forward-thinking values like Scotty Vest. I've been following Scotty Vest for quite a while. I love their clothing, and they're all about transparency and honesty with their customers. I really like the brand, their values, and the way their owner is open and honest with his customers. They have lightweight shirts, hoodies, tons of different types of jackets and vests, and their clothes are packed with pockets. Even smart RFID blocking pockets, they're designed with commuting in mind. Go ahead and give them a look at scottyvest.com. And just because you're listening to this show, you get 15% off your order. Enter the promo code TELLME, T-E-L-L-M-E, all one word. That's scottyvest.com, promo code TELLME, or just use the link in the show notes. Just before I started recording today, I got asked to schedule a virtual magic show from my studio here. It's in a month from now. And I know that a lot of you are still working from home. You might not be doing magic shows from your basement like I am. But I know that a lot of you are having Zoom meetings that get just ridiculously boring. And I want you to have a professional setup because it shows you care about your job. You're willing to go an extra step to exhibit your professionalism. Online meetings are a lot more than just turning on a laptop and using your earbuds. Virtual Presenter Course is an easy-to-follow course. It's an online course. It teaches you how to make your online presentation stand out. They have proper lighting tips, and they tell you how to get the best sound in your house, how to make virtual backgrounds that actually look real. And they cover everything in a way that is easy to follow. You don't have to be a tech wizard to do this stuff. They've agreed to allow me to get you 20% off your order. So just go to virtualpresentercourse.com/30 and the discount will automatically be applied. The link is in the show notes. I promise you're going to love Virtual Presenter Course. Let's get back to our story. Barbara Streisand began singing in nightclubs in the early 1960s. She quickly caught the attention of a local playwright who cast her opposite Elliot Gould in a musical comedy he was casting. Her performance garnered rave reviews, and she took the theater world by storm. It led to a multitude of acting and singing on stage and screen, and it launched her into a career that's lasted almost 60 years. She sold more than 150 million albums and has won at least one of just about every major industry award. Barbara Streisand's dog Samantha was born in 2003 and lived to be 14 years old. The dog was a Coton de Tulier, a small, curly, white-haired breed. Streisand loved her dog so much that as Samantha was nearing the end of her life, Barbara made the decision to do something that one of her friends had done: pay to have her beloved dog cloned. She told the New York Times, quote, It was easier to let Sammy go if I knew I could keep some part of her alive, something that came from her DNA, end quote. She had cells taken from Sammy's stomach and mouth and sent to Viagen Pets in Texas. Viagen's cost to clone your dog is around $50,000. When you're one of the best-selling artists of all time, 50 grand isn't such a large sum of money. The cloning process produced 4 puppies. Sadly, one of those puppies didn't survive. She gave another puppy away to her manager, and the remaining 2 Coton de Tuileries came to live in the Streisand home. Their names are Miss Scarlet and Miss Violet, named for the sweaters that she had them in when they were babies. Scarlet and Violet aren't identical copies of Samantha. According to Streisand, each dog is unique and has her own personality. Some people have a problem with pet cloning. There are the reasons we discussed earlier, and then there's a problem that so many dogs and shelters are in need of a home. According to the ASPCA, nearly 400,000 shelter dogs are euthanized every year. That organization has stated that they are calling for a moratorium on the research, promotion, and sale of bioengineered pets. You may agree or disagree with the idea of paying a boatload of money creating a carbon copy of your favorite pet. But for a diva like Babs, she can't imagine having it any other way. The pups have helped heal the pain of losing her best friend, and happy days are here again. Now it's time for the part of the podcast where I call a friend, and today I'm calling comedian and actor Maria Dakotas. Maria made waves in 2020 with her hilarious viral videos impersonating and lip-syncing to audio from Andrew Cuomo's bizarre press conference statements. She trained with New York's Upright Citizens Brigade. She worked with Mike Birbiglia on his Broadway show, The New One. She's been featured in Vogue, New York Magazine, The New York Times, and Rolling Stone. Hello, Maria. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, you're coming to us from where?
Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn, fantastic. And are you all recovering from the crazy flooding that was happening in New York last week?
Actually, nothing really bad happened on my street. My street stayed pretty dry, so I was okay, thankfully.
That's awesome. And I, my buddy is in Queens, and he said the same. He said he's fine. You know how, like, you know, you watch the news. I'm in Ohio. You watch the news and it's like, oh my God, all of New York's underwater. But
a lot of the footage from like the subway and stuff was really scary.
It's crazy. Absolutely. So you recently worked with Mike Birbiglia on his Broadway show, The New One. Can you tell us about what you did in that show?
Yeah. So, he had this sort of competition, for an understudy for his show, because it's a, you know, it's a one man show. So the joke was kind of that he couldn't really have an understudy. So then he decided to do this kind of competition where he asked people to post videos on social media doing one of his monologues from one of his shows. And whoever won would be his understudy and they would like open for him on Broadway. And so I chose a monologue from his show, My Girlfriend's Boyfriend, and it was the Scrambler monologue. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but he's on this ride, the Scrambler, and he's he's on a date, but he like throws up everywhere.
Right.
And so I translated it into Italian because I thought it'd be fun because he's got a very Italian last name, so I thought he might appreciate it. And then I made a video, and he chose me to come open for him on Broadway one night.
That was amazing. And you performed the entire thing in Italian with someone on stage translating what you were saying, which were his original work.
Yes, with Ira Italian? Glass translating.
Ira Glass translated, which is amazing.
Which is insane. I didn't even know that was going to happen until I showed up, and I was like, "Oh, Ira Glass, hi."
That's crazy. So. Do you speak Italian or did you have to learn all the like pronunciations and everything specifically for this piece?
Oh, no, I speak it. So,
OK, so then it's fantastic. The bit is really funny. And you can see that on Maria's YouTube channel.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. What we're playing for is a topic that you don't know anything about. And for this first question, we're playing for promo. So if you get it right, I'll mention your YouTube channel to my multitude of just over 5,000 Twitter followers. If you get it wrong, you'll mention my podcast to your small smattering of 58,000 Twitter followers.
Okay.
Here's your question. Barbara Streisand has several dogs, which she shows off regularly on her Instagram. Two of them, Miss Scarlet and Miss Violet, are noteworthy for which of these following reasons? So one of these is true. A, they once belonged to her co-star from A Star Is Born, Kris Kristofferson. B, she accepted the dogs in lieu of payment for her work in Meet the Fockers. Or C, they were cloned from her previous pet, Samantha.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I feel like it could be C.
You gonna go with C?
Yeah.
You are correct, Maria. Those dogs are clones.
I just feel like that's what a celebrity would do.
Right. Yeah, exactly. you know, this. There are all kind of ethical questions and everything that we got into in this episode. But I brought the question up to my wife. I said, would you clone one of our dogs if we could? And we really couldn't come up with an answer. We don't know. Well, first of all, it costs $50,000 to clone a dog.
God.
Okay. So that's one thing. But, you know, there's just the idea of like, you like a pet that much that you would just have that one pet forever or similar versions of it. The pets, apparently the clones aren't exactly the same as the first dog, but appearance wise, they really are.
So it looks the same, but like, does it have the same spirit? The big debate.
Right. And that's what you love about an animal, right? Like that's the thing that you want an animal because of. Usually people don't want another of their pet because of its appearance. I mean, that's a thing for like show dogs and stuff, but not for pets.
Mm-hmm.
So you got that right, which means I might get you upwards of several Twitter followers after this episode.
You.
You're welcome. Question two. For this question, we're playing for a double down on the previous question. So if you get it right, I will make two mentions. And if you get it wrong, no mentions from me, and you have to make a mention of me. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Of the podcast, not of me. I'm here it is. This one's harder. Barbara's clones are Coton du Tuléars, which is a white fluffy breed of dog, which is also known by which one of the following nicknames? One of these nicknames is an actual nickname for Coton du Tuléar, which it kind of looks like a Bichon, maybe like a little white Shih Tzu. It's like a little fluffy dog. A.
Okay.
The royal dog of Madagascar. B. The cotton ball canine. Or C. The official dog of Fabrico, a cotton producer in Rochester, New York.
I want to say B.
B. The cotton ball canine.
Yeah.
It does sound like something you would hear on Thanksgiving Day from who's the guy that always does the like the color commentary on the Yukonuba or on the dog show that's after the parade.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It sounds like the cotton ball canine, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the answer is the royal dog of Madagascar.
Oh, wow.
The Coton du Tuléar is named for the city of Tuléar, which is known as Toliara in Madagascar. This breed is thought to have originated from a group of small white dogs that swam across the Malagasy Channel following a shipwreck. So,
he swam?
Yeah, the doggies swam, apparently. And when you see these dogs, I mean, they're tiny little cotton balls. So, like, they really, that would have been a sight.
I know, my goodness.
Yes. So, all right. So I'm going to get some Twitter followers. At least the podcast will. Which the podcast, you know, I do have a separate Twitter for the podcast, but no one follows that. Everyone just follows my Twitter instead of that because it's more interesting. Like, you know.
There's so many accounts to keep up with. Like,
yeah,
I can't do it. I'm like, I'll just have one.
I know. And yeah, it is that way. And I, in the very beginning, decided I was just going to do it that way. Like I was going to do everything through my own Twitter. And then after a while, I'm looking at my Instagram and it was just all me promoting the podcast. And so it got very boring. So I was like, I need to have that separate. And so now I do everything in two different things. And now that there are a lot of NPR listeners listening to the podcast, they put me on the new and noteworthy podcast list a few weeks ago.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you. But the great part about that is there are people that listen to the podcast that know me from the podcast, not from my other career, which is sort of where everyone else had come from before that. So it's nice. All right. Question number three. For this question, we are playing for a coveted The Internet Says It's True sticker. These are very hard to come by, Maria. They're extremely valuable. And what they do is they stick on things. That's their sort of their use.
I love that for them.
Yes. Viagen Pets is the company that Barbara Streisand used to clone her dogs at the cost of $50,000. According to Viagen, which of these is the cost to clone your cat? A, $45,000. B, $50,000. Or C, $25,000.
You know, I want to say it's cheaper just because I feel like dog breeding is such a huge industry and like there's so much money and attention and energy put into it. But I feel like cats, like people don't even really know what their cats are. They're just like, yeah, my cat is gray or whatever. You know, like they don't
right.
ever know what kind of cat they have. So I want to, what was A was what?
A was 45,000. B was 50,000, yeah. The same as a dog. And C was 25,000.
I want to say it's like slightly cheaper for some reason. Okay. A?
A? Unfortunately, yeah, Maria, the answer is C, $25,000. Oh, can you believe that? They value a cat at half the value of a dog.
I'm not surprised, actually. Is I should have right? gone with C.
Are you a cat person or a dog person?
I'm more of a cat person. I had cats growing up. Okay. I can appreciate dogs and like they're sweet, but
I've had both. I'm mm-hmm. a dog. I would consider myself a dog person. But I did have a cat for a while. And I am a dog person because I think cats can really. The problem is that I'm needy in terms of like attention. So and dogs yes. give that to me, whereas cats do not.
Yeah. See, I'm like more like give me my space. I need my time. Don't yeah. touch me unless I say so.
And I feel like a cat, you know, if you were to have a pet there in Brooklyn, like a cat would be a better New York pet than a dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially with time, you got to go and you got to find green space and everything else. Now, I think that in general, society feels like cats, like you said, you know, you don't know what your cat is. You wouldn't tell people like the specific type of breed and color and type of your cat. You would just be like, I found it. Like mm-hmm. this cat came by and now it's mine. Like I started feeding it. And now I have a cat. The people at Viagen, I don't know if they're dog people or if they just sort of are basing that on society's value, but half the price.
They must be. I feel like there's probably a higher demand for people who want to clone their dogs, you know, because I feel like you were saying like that need for attention is probably like they're more dependent on their dog's love, maybe.
Possibly.
Whereas cat people are like, oh, whatever, like I'll just get another cat. Like, so maybe they're just.
Yeah. Who would clone a cat? I feel like an evil villain would clone a cat. And that's just like,
yeah,
like, I don't know. I used to watch Inspector Gadget when I was a kid. And like, there was always the guy that was like, you would always see the back of his head and he would sit in the chair and be petting his cat. Like that guy would, mm-hmm. he would need multiple of the exact same cat.
Evil people always have a cat and a pinky ring.
Yeah. And the pinky ring holding the ashes of the previous cat, maybe. I don't know. Yes. You know, yeah, it is interesting because for those people, for the evil villain, the cat is more of the image. It's more about the image than it is the bond with the pet.
Accessory. Yes.
It is an accessory. Yeah.
Accessory to their evilness.
And if for some reason, you know, Mr. Evil sitting in his lair under the mountain, if he all of a sudden had a tabby cat where before that he always had a white cat on his lap, now it's weird.
It'd be odd. Yeah.
Is he softening up? What's happening?
I feel like a white cat is very evil signifying.
Why is that? Because you feel like a black cat
should be. No one's holding
a
tabby.
No one.
A black cat is more spooky.
Or maybe a hairless.
I feel like it's more spooky than evil. Oh yeah, or a hairless is very evil.
Is that a sphinx? What is a hairless? What is that?
See, I don't even know what they're called. I don't know what cat breeds are.
Yeah.
I don't know what
they're called. See, this is the point. You would never clone a cat because you don't know.
Exactly.
If it was hairless, you'd be like, I don't know. It was a black cat and then it was hairless. It was a white cat. It used to maybe mm-hmm. be a tabby and then alopecia. I don't know. I don't know what's happening with this cat.
Yeah.
Question number four. Oh, sorry, I'm sorry you don't get the sticker this time. So maybe next time.
That's okay.
Maybe next time. Question four. For this question, we're playing for a confession. If you get it right, I'll tell you about a time something embarrassing happened to me on stage. If you get it wrong, you have to tell me an embarrassing story from the stage for you. If you can think of one of those, do you have one in mind?
Yeah, I can think of one.
Okay. Which one of these men is not an ex-husband of Barbara Streisand? Here are your three choices. A, James Brolin. B, Elliot Gould. Or C, Barry Gibb.
Which one is not?
Yeah, so two of these men were ex-husbands of Barbara Streisand. A, James Brolin. B, Elliot Gould. Or C, Barry Gibb.
I want to say C, Barry Gibb. This is just a shot in the dark.
You are correct. Trust your gut. Barry Gibb and Barbara Streisand did sing duets together, but they were never married. They actually, in 1981, during the Grammy Awards, shared a kiss, a very passionate kiss on stage, which led to rumors galore. But she was never married to Barry Gibb. She was married to, her first husband was Elliot Gould, who back in the mid-60s, she was cast against in New York City on Broadway. So that was her first big acting gig, was on stage with Elliot Gould. The two became very close and moved in together. And then later she was married to James Brolin, but not Barry Gibb. So let me think of an embarrassing story that happened to me on stage. So here's one that I don't know that I've told this on this podcast, but I have told it a few times. I used to do a routine in which I would put a girl in a box and then shove like 7 steel blades through the box. And what that did was like separate her body into 4 pieces, which would go in different spots. And I don't do this type of thing anymore. Mostly I do things that, you know, they have to go on the airplane with me. So like smaller scale magic. But this was in my like teen years. I was an aspiring stage magician. And on this one particular show, the girl that I had been rehearsing with that was going to do this show with me, and we were performing for, it was like a Rotary Club. It was like 150 Rotarians. And she went out and got high. Like backstage before the show. I did not know this, not a big deal, except she missed the cue when she was supposed to like get down on the bottom part of the box. So when I shoved the blade into the box, I shoved it into the back of her head.
Oh my God. What?
Yes, that happened. And the next thing I heard,
are you serious?
This happened. Yeah, this happened. I shoved it into the, now these aren't like razor sharp, gonna slice skin type of thing, but they are steel and solid. And I did hit her in the very base of the skull. And I don't know if I knocked her out or if she just fell, but she was, the next thing I knew, she's crumpled in a ball in the bottom of the boxes. It was bad. It was very bad. But ironically,
oh my God,
that's exactly where I needed her to be for the next step of the trick. So, like how it worked. But what was supposed to happen then was after I rearranged the boxes, I opened the little windows on the boxes and they can see, oh, her head's down here and her, you know, her waist is up here and her feet are here, and she's rearranged, right? It's called the mismade lady illusion, and none of that stuff was where it was supposed to be. There were no legs. There were no, and so the audience just saw me open the doors and then like react and then close the door and look at the audience like, oh my gosh, like like they were supposed to just, like I was experiencing the magic and then translating it through facial expressions to the audience.
Did they know something was wrong, or were they confused?
I really don't know. I really don't know. I would assume that they knew something was wrong.
Something was up.
But they don't know what's supposed to happen, really. And that's sort of how a lot of magic works is, you know, they don't know if you mess up because they don't know what it was supposed to look like. So by the time that the boxes were rearranged at the end of the routine, she was back up and she was fine and she stepped out. And that was that. And we did get into a big fight and broke up soon after that. But that's, you know, that's show business, baby.
Oh my God, that's so scary.
Horrible. Yeah, it was horrible. It was really, I think about it now and it's like a total cringe moment, but of my own doing.
Yeah, I just feel like that's like a horrifying moment on stage more than it is like, I guess it's a little embarrassing because the trick was messed up, but it's more like, did I just kill someone?
Did I just kill someone in front of 150 Rotarians?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. It could have been real bad. Luckily the blades weren't, you know, super sharp to actually cut someone into pieces. Oh my gosh. Okay. Question number 5. This one is for all the marbles. If you get this wrong, Maria, I'm banning you from this show. Never to be asked on again. This is a question we asked our guests last week, and I really liked the question, so we're going to stick with it for a while. Here's your question. What piece of advice would you give to a 17-year-old Maria Dakotas?
Yeah, I think that I would tell a 17-year-old Maria Dakotas that not to listen to people who bring you down or reject you or say, like, you'll never be successful, or you'll never do this, or you'll never accomplish this. Just to trust yourself, to trust your own talent and worth, and know that no matter what anyone says, you have the strength, you have the talent, you have everything that you need, and it doesn't matter what anybody else says.
I will take that as a right answer. That's fantastic advice. So if you're listening to this and you still don't know what you want to do, don't freak out about it, because I'm a professional magician for a living. That's the weirdest thing. I tell people all the time, there are people who build Legos for a living. Like, those people didn't think that was going to happen, and now it's an amazing thing. So stick with it. Maria Dakotas, it was so awesome to have you on the show today. Can you tell people where you would prefer them to find you online?
Yes. So you can just follow me on any of my social medias. It's just at my first and last name, at Maria Dakotas.
Fantastic. So, well, have a wonderful week. Yeah, no problem. You were great. I appreciate it. And I look forward to more stuff from you in the future.
Thank you.
Well, that's all for this week. Thank you so much to Catherine for the show topic and Maria Dakotas for being my guest. Here is the voice of a small clone that I had made.
Thank you for listening to The Internet Says It's True. Don't forget to join up on Patreon if you want to see the unedited video of the guest appearance or to hear bonus episodes. You can do that at patreon.com/MichaelKent. Also, if you learned something that you didn't already know from the show, please visit iTunes and leave us a review with 5 stars and a few words. That's the rule. You gotta do it. That helps us a ton, because that's how the algorithm works, to get the podcast suggested to more people. And that way we can keep learning something new, if the internet says it's true.
The Internet Says It's True would like to thank the Patreon subscribers whose monthly contributions help make this show possible. Sean Brown, Catherine Morgan, Taylor Hurt, Tony Ford, Bryce Swanson, Eugene Anderson, Matt McVeigh, Jim Martin, Joanne Martin, Josh Van Allen, and the show's official emperor, Kicktrack. The show is written and produced by me, Michael Kent. The theme song is by Finite Music Forge, and additional music this week was from Bobby Richards and E's Jammy Jams. All audio clips in this episode are used for education and commentary and used under fair use Title 17 USC Section 107. You can listen to past episodes by searching for The Internet Says It's True wherever you get your podcasts, and you can see bonus content at patreon.com/MichaelKent.